Turn. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2013. 23rd. Hello, 2016. Start over. This is Lynn Downey. I'm in the lovely Hayes home, the Hayes Ranch, talking with Mr. John Hayes and other members of the family. Feel free to chime in. Thank you very much for doing this. And I want to go back and start at the beginning and tell me where you were born and where you were brought up and went to school.
Let's see.
You don't even have to follow that.
What were your parents' names?
Just a little bit about your early years.
Mm-hmm.
I provided the questions early on,
right.
You know, just so people could, you know, start thinking about the answers if they wanted. But it's not, that's not a rule. You know, it doesn't have to be, you
right.
know, in that order or anything. So, and some people didn't even, you know, want to see the questions beforehand. They're like, oh, just come on down.
Yeah.
And we try to make it just like, feel like a conversation.
Right.
So.
That's a very good thing to say for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I even get that wrong?
No,
what did I say, 2013?
Start talking.
Okay.
Start talking.
Well, let's see. Where did your family first start ranching in People's Valley? Where were you? Where and when were you born? Let's see. What did your family first start ranching in People's Valley?
Yeah, I mean, we can answer it, but he might be able to answer some
Go ahead, Becky. Mm-hmm. You can just talk.
Okay. Just tell a story about this. Dad, tell a story about living here on the ranch. Give a little background on the ranch.
Okay. But actually,
he doesn't have to work.
There was no, it was no, what were you, what were your parents' names? Did you have any siblings but with their names?
You don't have to go off of this. Just tell a story about ranching here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll forget this.
Yeah. So do you have like a first memory of the ranch?
Pardon me?
Do you have like, what are your first memories of the ranch?
I guess because I don't know. I was born here and lived here always, so there was no real memories of
a first memory.
Mm-hmm.
What about? Do you remember when you you guys drive cattle to Kirkland and ship them on the train?
When did we drive cattle
to Kirkland?
Oh,
the railroad.
I remember helping part drive part way, partly.
Could you do that in one day, or how long did it take to get over there?
One day. You leave early in the morning. You get there, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
From here?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Were there stockyard or like a corral you kept them at, or did you load them the same day?
They were the same day. You go straight to the same corrals.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave very early in the morning.
Right.
Stop and rest on Rigdon's Creek.
Mm-hmm. And were all those cattle, they were going back to Kalinga, weren't they?
Pardon?
Were they the steers going to Kalinga, or what were you typically doing there, back to the Avenal? when they got on the railroad, where were they going?
When we got to the railroad, where were we going with them?
Yeah, where did the cattle go afterwards?
They went from Kirkland to Central California.
Wow. And they were all wiener calves, or were they fed cattle? I mean, were they yearlings or two-year-olds, or the calves, wiener calves?
No, they were really wiener calves.
Okay, and then they'd fatten up there?
In California, they got the ranch up there, never come back here again.
Right. Okay.
Was there a railroad stop at Kirkland?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Principal railroad. That,
all around.
Congress. Wickenburg, Congress.
Hillside?
Hillside.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Kirkland, Skull Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever the train stopped, mm-hmm. So.
What about the Day Creek? Did they stop over there at all? Or was it Hillside and Congress?
I think so, John. I can't remember.
Yeah. So what about, Tom Riggin told me that when Grandpa Roy first came here, that the first two or three years, all they did was catch wild cattle from the homesteads that didn't prove up here,
mm-hmm.
and that they paid for the ranch with those sales. Is that true?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But that was before my time.
Yeah, I mean, that was 1912.
Right.
Right. But, and so, there, what's that?
So the family first came here to the valley in 1912?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, and so they came, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dad, right? It was part of they leased the Avenel Ranch that was outside of Kalinga, so you might know where it is. And so they brought they bought this ranch to raise the calves, and then, because the feed was good in the winter there every year, and so they'd send the calves there because there were no feedlots, mm-hmm. and you had to fatten your cattle up to when they'd slaughter them when they were two or three, wasn't it three? When they're three-year-olds, is that before the feedlots? Were they two or three-year-olds when you butcher them?
Really, they were probably three-year-olds.
Yeah.
You run them on their mother's hair until they were ready to be weaned.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why this one started.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what about we were talking last night about the horses, the Mustangs. That might be a neat story about how you guys managed the herd up here for the ranch.
That's true. But that was before my time.
So I thought they were still getting Mustangs up there. I thought you went up there with Grandpa Roy a couple times.
Hmm?
I thought you went up here with Grandpa Roy.
Right, right.
So you did do it a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and so there was a herd up here, but didn't they turn out old mares? And occasionally put some stallions up into the herd.
Right, they're often workhorses,
mm-hmm.
ranch horses, and they'd mix with the other horses and keep them gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't wild horses.
Right. What was the name of the horse that Grandpa Roy brought out from there that you rode when you were a kid? Margaret told me the name of him. I can't remember. Can you remember?
Midget?
I don't know.
Or Tom Thumb.
Maybe it's Tom Thumb. It's like a sorrel.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a sorrel horse? One of your horses you rode when you were a little boy?
I'm trying to think. Remember at the time that we did sell horses off the...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's always plenty of horses available.
Right.
Where did you sell the horses?
No, I don't know. Phoenix, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
And where Tom was telling me also that you guys would shoe your bulls when you take them down to the White House with old horseshoes and break them in half at Tabletop Mountain, and you nail the shoes on so they could get down there. Do you remember seeing that?
No.
No. Yeah. Anyways, that's what he said they would do that. But that was probably before then. Yeah, I don't know anything about the White House. But can you tell us about the White House? Wasn't that the headquarters in the wintertime? Remember we were driving there towards the White House?
The White House is a desert camp below Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
It's halfway from Wickenburg up to Stanton. And then from there on up here was another day's drive.
Mm-hmm.
So
could you drive your cattle from here to the White House in one day?
I'm trying to think what we did.
It'd be a long drive.
We left very early in the morning and went down to George Med's place at Stanton, and then turned them loose there, and they'd sort of scatter out for them.
Mm-hmm. And you drove them around Yarnell, right? Or through Yarnell?
We drove them through Yarnell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't try to drive them through. We leave early in the morning and make it down to George Med's place easily by early afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't really a distance. It was all one ranch then.
So were you camping out at night down there, or did you stay in a bunkhouse? Or
we had the White House down below Stanton.
Mm-hmm. Was it enough room for everyone to stay?
Right. It was a fairly big house.
Mm-hmm. Who built that house?
Akers. Mm-hmm. Bill Akers for his wife. And they never came back to use it, though.
Uh-huh. And there's a well right there with a windmill or something? Or how?
I'm sorry?
How did they get the water there?
Because a well at Stanton. Up by the mountain there, right by the foothills end, and there's a well right there. And it's about 2.5 miles pipeline down to the...
Right.
Can't remember the... No, some of it's coming back now.
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask, why did the couple build that White House in the first place?
I think probably memories of their ranch here.
Oh.
There was no... it was a lot of homesteads taken up in the early days. And... So they built up, when they sold out the ranch, they retained the right to build a good, fairly good sized house there.
Hmm.
I can't remember.
So the Akers were the people that my dad's dad and their company bought from. So they owned the ranch before.
Okay.
Huh. Becky knows a lot of the history of the acres.
Oh.
I have lots of interviews with Henry, the son, who lived, they moved from here when they sold it to the Hayeses to Whittier and bought up orchards. And they had a
car dealership.
Yeah, a car service station, a 76 Unocal station. Hmm. And he just died last year at the age of 98.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he remembered everything here.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
my dad was telling me they saw, there's a guy, Al Seiber.
Al Seiber?
Seiber, they saw
him. The scout?
Yeah. And over there in Walnut Grove on a white mule with 70 Apaches riding by, or walking behind him, riding through there. No, he done at the acres too, because that was in the, you know, late 1800s. Yeah. But I was asking Dad about it, and he's like, no, that was the acres.
Wow. So your friend saw that famous scout, Al Seiber.
No, not really.
Oh.
Not really.
The acres did. Hmm? You told me the acres did.
The Acords were related some way to Al Seiber.
They were related to him?
They were related some way, somehow, through marriage.
Oh, okay.
How do you spell their name?
A-K-A-R-D. Okay. Is that how you spell Acords? Just A, is it A-C-K?
A-K, A-K-A-R-D, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And the road that was... It come, I guess, right through here, about a mile over, and it went through the brush to Rattlesnake Hill, and then it'd go to the left of those mountains, and that was the road to Prescott, back a long time ago. And I remember, didn't you say Grandpa Roy saw a troop of buffalo soldiers going to Fort Whipple here?
Right. Yeah. It's moved back and forth down that road.
Yeah. And that was 1912 or 14 or something.
Wow.
But, yeah.
I was going to say, Dad, this is old Riata that the Acords made from the hides here.
That's
amazing. Dad, why don't you tell Lynn about how they would make the Riatas from the when they butcher the cattle here?
Right. The stout Riata would be. But even they would break.
Yeah. Some of those might have
even they would break.
And that's
kind of...
It's
still really tough.
Yeah, look at it.
Thank you.
Mom just walked in.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
So Dad would help him, the Acres, because even though they lived in Whittier, Bill would come back and help out at the ranch because he liked it. So, and Dad, as a kid, tell him about you helping get the hide ready.
Oh, helping Bill Acres get ready for the... But I'll tell you, it was not a fun job. It was hours and hours and hours of work of getting the hair scraped off the rawhide and getting it gauged.
Wow. This doesn't feel like it would break to me, let me tell you.
Yeah, no, it'll break. The style, and you, I mean, they probably talk about it at the museum there, but that's kind of... like a California style that's in Nevada and all of that area. And Arizona is kind of interesting. Dad could probably talk about this, where in Arizona, the Texas style of ranching and cowboys and the California style meets in Arizona. And this is California style. And Grandpa Roy, Cynthia told me, I don't know if it's true, Dad, that Grandpa Roy didn't want to hire Texans. Did you ever hear that?
I did.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And why was that?
Well, there was sort of a great rivalry between Texas ranchers and Mexican ranchers.
Right.
And they just fought a war to separate.
Mm-hmm.
And so our inheritance came through Sonora and up to through Baja, California.
And that went into California, and then that came back here. And the horsemanship too, didn't Grandpa Roy not want think that Texans weren't, they were hard mouthed on the horses and
they'd
hit a horse in the head and
Yeah.
So, because it's the, you should show her those spade bits and stuff. That's all of this is from California, and it's, I mean, there's all kinds of books all about this stuff. But it's neat to see that this area, because if you just go a little bit more to the east, it's all Texas. Oak Ranch. Like the Hash Knife Cowboys mm-hmm. that are up in Northern Arizona, mm-hmm. those are all Texans. And they all, it's a different, totally different way of horsemanship and, you know, roping. Like these, you dally around the horn, and those guys would tie it. They had grass ropes that wouldn't break. And so you could rope it, and the cow would run the slack out, and it would hold. But these, like you're saying, they would break. Mm-hmm. But you, and so you dally around and you let the rope run while it's running, you slowly are tightening it down. And then that goes back to their whole approach of kind of, and I would say more humane way of you let the slack out.
You know the acres that they used.
Wow.
So some of these are.
Those are 100 years old.
At least, or more. And this is from Yuma Territorial Prison. They did a lot of horse hair braiding. And so Bill, when Dad and I went over there to see him, he gave us his dad's all of their stuff.
This is amazing. May I take photographs?
Yeah.
Hi, honey.
Bring my camera.
Hi, it's all good. Did you
meet? Yeah.
I haven't met anybody.
Hello there.
Well, yes, I have met somebody. How are you?
So, baby.
Where's Roy? Oh, my God, look at.
Is that Lexi?
I hope you were an executive of a museum. No.
How do you do? I'm Mary. Very nice to meet you, Mary.
Thank you. I'll let you guys get back here.
Oh, that's fine. Join in.
I don't know anything about that stuff.
Make the horse go and make the horse stop.
Yeah. Pull to go, pull to low. Right. Or kick to go, pull to low. Yeah.
I got your online whatever.
Oh, good, Andre.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
These are wonderful artifacts.
Yeah,
amazing.
Like, this stuff, and all this is well known, but like this tradition of spade bits comes from Spain. And the Spanish got it from the Moors and, you know, the whole Islamic influence. And so these like motifs that are crescent moons, that's straight from Morocco, the Moorish influence on Spain. Mm-hmm. And then that goes into California, and then it's showing up here in Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah, it's neat. A lot of the words. You know, there's like the hackamore is hakima in Spanish, and that's Arabic, you know.
Huh.
Like what is the Hamas in Espanol? And those words that end in M-A.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the, yeah, for you, before you take a horse to the spay bit, this isn't a spay bit, this
mm-hmm.
is spay bit.
Mm-hmm.
You start them in the Hakima, and then you gradually, you know, move them into this or her into this.
Tell her what makes a spay bit.
Well, this is the how you can identify it. But a spay bit, really, they just hold the, they don't, there's a guy where I live now, he's, to give you an idea, it's all about just very light reins, and mostly on the neck with these. And that, and these are weighted also, that's where they put these knots. But the guy there, he'll take his horse just to show off. I think he says it to show off, but he'll disconnect this, and he'll take two rubber bands, and he has like rubber, just normal rubber bands here and here, and he'll go brand calves and work in the corral, because the horse is responding just to the reins. Like if he pulls it, he'll break. And that's when they're finally finished. That's how this should work.
Wow.
But there's no one. There's like a resurgence in California and Nevada and probably here of doing spay bit. But when I was growing up, there weren't, no one knew how to do it.
Wow.
So, but Grandpa Roy was, my dad's dad was supposedly a really good horseman.
Wow.
And so you do what? Was your grandma? Hey, so she was in.
Yeah. Becky would. Yeah, she won like side saddle contests,
she
races,
she
and stuff in Prescott.
Really?
Yeah, and she, because all of her family were also in Parkfield over by Shandon and stuff, and by Kalinga. It's,
Oh, Parkfield, the earthquake
capital
of California.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they all grew up, you know, as cowboys in California.
Uh-huh.
So, and they, her brother, can you tell a story about Uncle Buck coming here?
No, I don't remember what.
Now, you remember Grandma Hazel wanted Uncle Buck to come help?
Yes.
And, but then he got to drinking, he had a fire, him? Remember that story?
No, but I don't. You can tell it. I don't remember it.
Well, I remember you told me that he was a really good cowboy, but kind of crazy. He was great. He was a wild person till he was 95. He was always and.
Then he settled down.
He never settled down. Yeah, he ran. He was the kind of old guy when he drove his Cadillac, and he was 90, and his license expired 10 years before, but he'd still drive. And when he'd stop in Passarolas, he'd say, "Whoa, whoa!" And a lady was walking her dog on a leash, and he ran over the dog. Yeah, and then like he was in the hospital when he was 85, and they told him he needed to be there 2 more days, and then his wife and his grandkids came to see him, and they went in the room, and the door, the window was open, and he packed up everything and climbed out the window and went home and hitchhiked home.
At 85.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
There was his grandson was at his funeral. They were telling all these stories where the his grandson was about 10, and they were branding, and they. This one calf that was castrated was still bleeding a lot, and then when it's hot, they'll kind of sway and be dizzy and fall down if it's real bad. And he was watching, and Uncle Buck came, "Hey, what's wrong?" "Well, that calf's been, he was bleeding out when he was castrated, and he's staggering and fell down." And he's like, "Oh, hell, don't worry about that. That happens to me every Saturday night. I'll just bleed and stagger and fall in the dirt. He'll get back up." Yeah. But he came here helping get all these wild cattle out. And then I think my grandpa Roy said no alcohol, no drinking on this ranch. And he was drinking, and he had to fire him. And Hazel was... you know, asking him not to, but he still had to do it. And my grandpa Roy I'm sure he didn't like doing it either. But that's the story about Uncle Buck. But,
yeah. Wow.
You're funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any early memories of Wickenburg? What were your first visits to Wickenburg like?
Not really, because we'd go down once a month and buy groceries. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime,
yeah.
And Wickenburg in the summertime in Prescott. So it really was no. I was not. Available for memories of that day and age below my time. My memories first start with. About 1934, 35.
What about Margaret would say during the Depression that Grandma Hazel always made a little bit more food, and that on the road here, she said it many times, you'd hear a car stop on the highway, and then turn the lights off, and a kid would come to the house and ask for food.
Really?
That's what Margaret told me. So, and then they'd have the food they'd give her, mm-hmm. Go feed the family and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they go feed the family, they help him very, very much.
Yeah.
Because I think the ranchers did. They had food. I mean, everyone had mm-hmm. food. It might not have had any money, but everyone was eating.
Yeah.
What about, do you remember when Grandpa Roy made corned beef ham, or meat, pickled meat in the barrels?
What was that now?
The beef he would make with saltpeter.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
I'm trying to think. I don't believe we did.
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah, you did. You told me that story. It was a big barrel, and he cut off big chunks of beef and put it in the water with saltpeter and I guess other spices, and put a lid on it, and you could keep it all winter long that way. And that's how he, because they didn't have electricity for a long time, how they kept their meat.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
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 What about growing vegetables or other kinds of things to eat? Did that happen a lot on the ranch? Were you able to grow a lot of your own food, too?
I'm sorry?
Were you able to grow a lot of like vegetables or other foods on the ranch just for sustenance?
Actually, we were pretty limited in the wintertime, which we had available to do with.
Yeah.
But didn't you go to Brayton's commercial in Wickenburg?
We did when I was growing up.
Once a month, you'd make a trip down to Wickenburg to get those supplies?
It was... Retinue for...
I understand you could get anything you needed at Brayton's.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah. And it had different departments. And there were the dry goods, and there were the groceries, and there was... And everybody, another person I interviewed said that's where you went to get your underwear.
Yeah.
There was no pennies.
No, exactly.
Dad, who were the other ranchers, like, down on the desert that you guys ranched with?
Well, everybody did pretty much for themselves. The braiding and... Rawhide work like this and that.
Mm-hmm. What about going to school?
Pardon me?
Where did you go to school when you were a kid?
Oh, just over the hill here. We have less than a half mile walk to school. So.
I think I've seen it.
You have
drive.
Still
the little schoolhouse there.
1927.
Uh-huh.
But he also went to Mexico City College.
Mm-hmm.
That was another life.
UFA and Thunderbird International School.
Wow.
But tell them about the old school. The original school was by the barn, and then Grandpa Hayes donated the land to build the schoolhouse in 1927. Did you go to the original schoolhouse?
Regular old schoolhouse was gone when I was old enough to be in school.
Right. And the teachers lived there?
I don't think so. I think they lived here at the ranch.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did.
I think that was kind of normal. Teachers would board with some of the families whose kids they were teaching.
Right.
I've heard that before. Yeah. That makes sense.
And there were more bunkhouses down there.
Right.
There were like two more bunkhouses. So there's probably three bunkhouses and then the main house for people to live in.
Yeah.
That's true. There were a lot more individual.
Who was that, the author who worked for Hayes Ranch? He wrote the song Strawberry Roan.
He did what?
He wrote the song Strawberry Roan. Remember?
Barney. And he worked here?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Barney, how was it? Badger Clark. Remember Badger Clark, the cowboy poet? The poet?
No, but not particularly from here, though. He was from Prescott area.
Right, but they came down, and the person that wrote Strawberry Roan, Margaret said, was about being on the ranch here.
Oh.
There's an old cowboy song, the Strawberry Roan.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Huh.
That would have been before my memory time.
Tell them about Tom Mix coming to the ranch.
You know, I don't know that story at all.
Well, Grandpa told you about Tom Mix coming through.
Right.
He used to work for a friend's ranch, the Stevens Ranch in Prescott. Before he became an actor.
Oh, before he got big, he was just a wrangler.
Yeah.
And what was the name of the family where he worked?
The Stevens Ranch. With a P-H. Yeah. What was Myrtle Stevens' dad's name, Dad? Myrtle Stevens, what were her parents' names?
Her parents' name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, what was it? William Stevens.
Was that ranch?
Wow.
And she was a teacher, no?
And Myrtle Stevens was a teacher here in the Yarnell, or people's at the schoolhouse.
Oh.
She went with Mrs. Hayes to Mexico City. That's when I met her. I was in grammar school.
Oh.
Mrs. Stevens, and I wrote to her for years and years and years. I would practice English that way.
Wow.
Yeah, Mrs. Stevens.
What else should I ask? We can look down.
Okay, there's a lot.
I know.
I mean, he remembers Charlotte Hall, seeing her as a kid, the Janungs. Well, Charlie Janung died.
Yeah.
But Graham Janung is what they called.
There were so many mistakes.
Indian Mary, the basket weaver, who Charlotte Hall is
from California, that he went, they went to Mexico City with him.
With whom?
With your dad and your...
Who did?
Some aunt and uncle from California. I remember them very well.
Do you remember meeting Charlotte Hall?
I was too little to be noticed particularly by Charlotte Hall.
She came down to the ranch, to the capital.
Oh.
But you remember her because you said that she spoke to the Arizona, to the Yavapai cattle wars in the courthouse in Prescott. You remember seeing her with Grace Sparks. They were great friends. Remember?
That's
they called her Harlot Hall.
The
Hayes family did.
Oh. Why?
Why did they call Charlotte Hall her nickname?
Harlot Shawl.
Harlot Shawl, yeah.
Oh.
Harlot Shawl.
Harlot Shawl, oh my gosh. Did somebody just have a slip of the tongue and it stuck? No.
No, it was a... I'm trying to think. This is all before school. She had taught here in People's Alley.
Myrtle Stevens.
Hmm.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Some things make sense.
We can do the rest another time.
Yeah, I have some answers too.
Okay. Yeah.
That he's from him.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Dad?
I can't think of anything else right offhand.
Well, that's good for now.
Oh.
Those were good stories. I like those. Thank you very much.
Now, this is recording. Is it?
Uh-huh.
I see. It was over here, wasn't it? Over here, and then what?
Oh, the lights flickered.
Yeah, the lights flickered a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's all kinds of readouts here in the front. It's kind of complicated. It's not the simple recorders they used to have.